The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back to the Feinbaum Show. Greg McElroy, Cole Kublick here, filling in for Paul on what is the Monday edition of Rivalry Week. So glad to have you with us. We look forward to taking many of your phone calls over the next 3 hours, just an hour in the books. And we are starting to hit the treetops of some of the biggest stories in college football. We've discussed already what's gone on with the Florida Gators. Dan Mullen out. If you've been under a college football rock the last couple weeks, Dan Mullen is out as the Florida Gator head coach. That's the topic of the day. But there is still so much more that we need to discuss because there's some amazing matchups that happened this past weekend, Cole, and some even better matchups coming up this weekend. I think this is the most important weekend of our season. As a sport, we only get one chance a year at our rivals. Now, it's changed a bit. Of course, we've seen more matchups that are replicated and occasionally, you know, with teams that might play in the SEC championship game and maybe have a rematch in the playoff or in the regular season and then in a championship game.
Big 12 kind of took that to a whole new level.
On a whole nother level. Yeah, that's what Baylor.
A lot of extra rivalry.
That's what Baylor and TCU, one true champion, will do. It'll lead to a championship game, which I think is actually a wonderful thing. And I think the Big 12 actually does it right because they do play the round robin. But that's a conversation for a different day. At least the Big 12 as it currently is constructed. I don't know how they're going to format things.
For a 16-week regular season here on the show today.
I would be open to a 16-week regular season. Give me a couple buys in there. We'll be all right. I'm great with that. It is Rivalry Week, though, and there's obviously so much to look forward to. We will preview the Iron Bowl. We've already talked briefly about Ohio State and Michigan. We'll get to that as well. We, of course, will hit a lot of the rivalry games that are scattered throughout this conference. The one that we won't hit, probably Georgia Tech.
That was a lackluster performance against Notre Dame.
Look ahead spot for Jeff Collins' bunch.
Maybe.
Yes.
Will not be a look-ahead spot for Kirby Smart's bunch. I can promise you that.
Why is that?
Because
why are they mad at the Yellow Jackets?
Well, they call it clean old-fashioned hate for a reason.
Good clean old-fashioned hate?
Sometimes good. This one might be bad.
Really?
Well, you think this game's going to be competitive?
Not particularly, no.
Okay. So, yes, this will be. This might not be clean old-fashioned hate. It'll be bad old-fashioned hate.
Hmm.
I loved it when this game was good. I can remember a time when this was a competitive game every year, and it was fun to watch. This one does not feel like we're heading that direction.
No.
There's so much on the line for Kirby Smart's Georgia Bulldogs. They already won the division. Now you can have an undefeated regular season. To me, that still means a lot. That's a big deal. This game still means a lot to the Georgia players and the Georgia Tech players. I think Jeff Collins and his staff will have the guys energized, will have them ready to play, but do they have enough to be able to formulate, number one, offense against what Georgia's going to pose defensively? I don't believe so. And then on the other side of the football, I think Stetson Bennett and company could potentially have their way, specifically on the ground against this Georgia Tech defense.
This is actually 3 minutes and 30 seconds longer than I anticipated talking about this game.
Moving on.
Georgia right now, 5 touchdown favorites in good, clean, old-fashioned hate. Another game that's going to be fantastic. It's going to be on Thanksgiving. I'll be in attendance. Very much looking forward to being on the call in Starkville for that game. It's the Egg Bowl. And you want to talk about good, clean, old-fashioned hate? There's nothing clean and there's nothing old-fashioned about the hatred that exists right now between Ole Miss and Mississippi State. I think it is the nastiest rivalry I've called to. In one, it was probably one of the dirtiest games I've ever seen.
Yes.
Seriously, one of the dirtiest games I've ever seen in my entire life.
That was the Fitzgerald game. That was 18?
17 or 18.
17 or 18. It was an ugly, ugly game.
I believe it was 17. And then in 2018, not only was the quarterback for Ole Miss lost, Jordan Ta'amu, nothing dirty about it, but Matt Corral comes in as a true freshman and starts a fight. So those are the two games that I've called. So if that means that the third one, the trifecta, is going to be any better. I think this is going to be a fascinating game, though, and I know we don't want to talk about the extracurricular and the fighting and stuff like that. It is kind of what makes it special in some ways.
It just means more, doesn't it?
Oh, there's no love lost between Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
No.
I feel like Auburn and Alabama is civil compared to Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
I would agree with that, and I think that's because there have been maybe higher expectations, other things to play for on both sides in recent memory with that rivalry. This one means a lot because there have been points for both teams in recent memory where this has been the season. We always say that about rivalry games, right? When it's not, you're not going to a big bowl or you can't play for a conference championship or national championship, this is their season. which we know that's not necessarily how it works. But when you get to that point, it can make your season. It can be the one thing that you take with you for the rest of your life from that season. And I'm actually jealous of you because I think this is going to be an amazing game. Will Rogers is playing out of his mind, completely out of his mind. 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions his last 5 games. 79% of his balls have been completed. And don't count out Zach Arnett's defense, who have been a little bit up and down this year, but physically, you know they're going to bring it each and every week. And now you look at Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss team finally getting healthy. Jonathan Mingo back on the field against Vanderbilt last week. Lane Kiffin telling us that he thinks Braylon Sanders is as close to 100%, and he's been as almost a month. I didn't think Matt Corral would move around much at all against Vandy, and now he's running all over the place, so he looks like he's going to be okay in this game. I expect fireworks. I expect points. I expect fun. This is going to be a heck of a game.
I think it's an amazing matchup. And, of course, right now, the conversation at the quarterback spot centers around C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. Understandably so, when it comes to the Heisman Trophy, that's what everyone wants to talk about after last weekend's performances. But I'd be hard-pressed right now to find a guy in college football that's playing better than Will Rogers. Will Rogers, over the last few weeks, especially in the second half of some of these football games, not only is he outrageously accurate, and the production is unbelievable, and people will point, well, it's the air raid, it's gonna be, the stats are gonna be inflated and all this. I understand that, and I can understand why you would push back against that. And I'm not trying to put Will Rogers in the front seat of New York. I'm not trying to do that right now. I think if the Heisman is really about going to the most outstanding player, he should be under consideration. But
I would agree.
It's not really that way unless you have 10 wins right now. You're probably not even going to be considered because it's become a team award as much as it is an individual award, but that's fine. Will Rogers, though, as far as the hot hand is concerned, is so lethal right now within that offense that you can have perfect coverage. And if you want a good example of what NFL accuracy is all about, NFL accuracy is throwing it to spots, to actual locations on the receiver's body, where if it's perfect coverage, it doesn't matter because the receiver is going to track the football and catch the football even if coverage is perfect. And he did it time and time and time again. The second half performance against the Auburn Tigers was as good of a 30-minute performance for college football player I've seen maybe this year. And it was 30 minutes of masterclass throws. Difficult throws over the middle, out to the outside, outside the numbers. Quick throws, deep throws, you name it. He was picking them apart. And it was a lot came back around. Well, what Auburn couldn't do, it was every bit as much about what real Will Rogers was able to do throughout the course of that game.
And he's got Mekhi Polk playing great football. Jaden Wally's playing good football. Charles Cross, that offensive line. They actually have a much better understanding of that system and how to operate this year. You just look at some of the numbers. He leads the nation in completion percentage, 76.1. But he also leads the nation in attempts, 573. You say, well, yeah, he throws it more. He should have more yards. But it would also seem like it would be more difficult to lead the nation in completion percentage if you led the nation in attempts. Second in the nation in touchdown passes, second in the nation in yards passing. You brought it up a little bit, Greg. This is actually a little different than what we've seen the air raid be the last few years. The middle of the field and down the field is where I think Will Rogers has set himself apart for some of Mike Leach's other recent quarterbacks. We hadn't seen them attack those parts of the field. Will Rogers can do it.
Yeah.
And he has just so much patience, so much poise, the ability to manipulate the pocket. Notice I didn't say buy time, because no quarterback buys time. There are people who create that time in front of you.
No, it's buying. It's buying time.
You manipulate the pocket when you need
offensive
to move.
Offensive line doesn't matter.
And then Will Rogers has been delivering. He's been dealing, man. He's so good. We've had him a couple times this year. Being able to see him at field level has been so impressive because he doesn't have the strongest arm.
No, he doesn't have a big arm.
But he's so accurate. And he knows how that timing and accuracy that you mentioned, on point.
I think the one way to kind of neutralize this offense is the pass rush. And if you look at the one game that we really haven't clicked in the second half of the season was against Alabama, Will Anderson won that game single-handedly. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, Will Anderson.
Not another one of those dudes.
I mean, if you watch that offense, I mean, Will Anderson, anytime he got one-on-one with that right tackle, whew, see ya. There's a game, set, match. So that's the Egg Bowl. That'll be Thursday. We'll talk about that one a little bit more as the week goes along. But we got to go to TV's favorite personality. He's TV's Tom Hart.
He's the I was hoping we'd put Jordan's picture up again, like we did at the beginning of the show.
Anytime,
hard disrespect, I'm here for.
Look at the cheesy smile. I mean, that is the cheesiest smile I have ever seen. It's one of those smiles, you know when you can see someone's bottom teeth when they're smiling? What? I think I can almost see the bottom teeth. That's how cheesy that smile is.
Why is he in Omaha? I need to know that. What's he doing? The College World Series is not for months.
Pre-gaming.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
A lot of fun with the guys on SEC Nation this fall. A lot of fun each and every weekend. With Tom Hart, welcome back in the Paul Feinbaum Show. Cole Kubrick, Greg McElroy filling in for Paul. And we are joined now by the man with the cheesiest headshot in all of sports entertainment, Tom Hart. There it is.
How's this grin?
No, we need to see. Meme our bottom teeth. If you get, it's got to be full bottom. There you go. That's a good cheesy grin. That's about what it was.
I am so happy to join you guys today.
Why are you in Omaha today, by the way?
Omaha? I'm not in Omaha. I don't have an Omaha production set per se, but I got gear. This is just kind of what we throw together in the corner.
Okay.
Something that might fit you and our crew on the weekend. I think this fits.
Oh yeah,
a little Family Feud.
I'm a big family.
Yeah, we got the game
fan survey says.
We got the game corner over here. Blank slate's always a fun for you guys. Going to be with the in-laws or with the family for Thanksgiving. Blank slate, my game of choice. Allows for a little creativity, and then there's the always classic time killer.
That is
Jenga.
Yeah. I will just warn our listeners, never play jumbo size Jenga with Tom Hart in a bar, because that can end with a broken nose.
Well, it's great too because Tom has such a great understanding of the show. Vast majority of our people tuning in right now are actually on radio, so it's good that you're showing these board games up to the screen.
Wait a second, hold on a second. If we're so worried about being on radio, then why did you guys go with the Jim Nantz collection? Like, why is it quarter zip scissors all the way
thank
across?
You very much.
the Jim Nantz Vineyard Vine selection from Belk is obviously a very, very popular choice in the Kublik household. He likes to go with that pastel-y frat. You've got the frat look, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way...
McElroy's such a hard worker that he goes quarter zip to show like I'm casual, but then he'll go sleeves up like I mean business, all right? So this is... You gotta really pay attention
to the
details.
Are the walls in your house glass? Because last time I'm checking, you're wearing a quarter zip as we speak, as you make fun of both Cole and I wearing a quarter zip.
I did research for the show. Uh-huh. I turned it on earlier, and I said, I want to fit in. I want to be a team player. So I'm not above a little quarter zip as a team player.
Yeah, appropriately labeled there as Jordan Rogers' booth partner, which you guys are not exactly exclusive, you and Jordan. You have cheated on Jordan with Cole a couple weeks ago when Cole was in the booth for the Arkansas-LSU game. Assess his performance that night.
Oh, boy.
Excellent, true professional. He took up a little bit more space in the booth than Jordan does. There was a vote that we had to take within the booth. The guys, folks who don't know, they're behind the scenes. I've got two of the best, the best spotter in the world, Chris Capo, and Greg Campbell, my statistician. They're my editorial board that assists me through every game. And they wanted to make sure that they could take a vote before allowing Cole in the booth. So he did get clearance. It was just by the slimmest of margins, we got him in there. But it was so much fun having Cole in the booth that we decided, why don't we flip it and go join Cole on the field for the Ole Miss game Saturday night, kind of invade his privacy like he did the booths.
Tom, who would you hire as Florida's next head football coach if you were Scott Strickland?
Well, that's a pivot and a half, isn't it?
Like,
forget having fun
right
and joking. Yeah, hard right turn.
Greg was rolling the sleeves up, so I figured he meant business. I'm trying to get back to business here. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's make somebody mad, okay? Because if you're Florida and you're going to go hire a championship head coach, he's going to come from somewhere, right? There's somebody out there that's currently having success at one program that Scott Strickland is going to identify and say, we're going to steal you from over there and get you down here. If you just stayed within the SEC, which I know that's not limited, but I think Mark Stoops will get a long, hard look, and I think Lane Kiffin will get a peek as well. Stoops, having spent time at Florida State as a defensive coordinator down there, they had some great defenses before he left. He's got ties to the state. He's recruiting his tail off at Kentucky. And what was ideal about that is he came in with a blueprint, and he was given time, by the way, by the administration to be successful. But the blueprint at Kentucky was, we're going into Big Ten territory. We're going to take these guys who want to play in the SEC, who maybe aren't good enough for Ohio State, but can come here and help us win, whether we're going into Youngstown, Ohio, or into Western Pennsylvania. We're going to go get these guys and bring them to Lexington, and they're going to play in the SEC. And listen, they've done an amazing job building that program over the years in Lexington. But he's been there a while. There seems to be some sort of cap, whatever that is, on how much success you can have in football at Kentucky. There is no limit to how successful you can be in Gainesville. And I for one, love the job that he's done. I'd love to see what he could do in Gainesville.
And I think you may have just capped your number one professional aspiration, which is to be the next mayor of Lexington, Kentucky, and will no longer be allowed at Tony's or Jeff Ruby's by bringing up Mark Stoops' name for that job. So congratulations, Tom.
You're absolutely right, and everything I just said was ill-advised, and I would like to strike it from the record.
Yeah, so
I never said anything.
You need to read card 99, the apology card. that's what it is. As we visit with Tom Hart, TV's Tom Hart, host of SEC The Weekend, also known
as
the Saturday Night Prime Group. Yes?
Greg, we've had this discussion before on other airwaves, but the potential at Florida or the potential at LSU, are either one of those jobs enough to lure Lincoln Riley out of Norman?
See, I think LSU is a remarkably attractive job. Right now, I don't know what's going on at Florida. I really don't. I'll be the first one to admit. I wish I could tell you that I thought that that was a super elite job. I do not think at this point it's a top five job in college football. I think at one point it was. Right now, with the challenges of each of the last two head coaches, I have my concerns about kind of the turnover that they've had in recent weeks and some unreachable, unrealistic expectations, at least in the near term. Not saying they should settle like I talked about earlier, but I think the ceiling, or at least the immediate ceiling at LSU, is slightly higher. That coupled with the fact that you have a remarkably talented state and a certain kid that grows up with the loyalty within that state to LSU, that's a real thing. And I think that it's going to be very challenging for a lot. If they get the right guy at LSU, it's going to be very challenging for the Alabamas and the A&Ms and the other schools that have been going down and carving out a piece of the boot. I think it's going to be extremely difficult for those guys to now leave LSU if the coaching hire is right at LSU. So I think that is, to me, I've said this, I've been on the record, I think LSU is a top two job in college football. I think you almost have to screw it up almost intentionally.
It's been proven, by the way,
literally,
the last few years.
Miles was inept in many ways. I love Les Miles. His teams played insanely hard. They were extremely physical, but he was inept in a lot of ways, rolled the ball out and won 10 games every year. And there's something to be said for that. So if you go get a remarkably cerebral coach that's a tenacious recruiter, couple that with what can become the LSU football team that's just 2 years removed from a national championship, I think they could be back here in 2 years.
Tom, did you just suggest Dave Aranda for the LSU job, the way you described that position?
I don't like the fit. It's as much as I love Dave Aranda, I think he's perfect at Baylor. And it's not that he won't get looks elsewhere, but I think Dave Aranda is a very cerebral, very thoughtful, I don't know if he's introverted, but it just feels like LSU needs someone that's a little bit more brash. At least that's the way it's been. So maybe they want to overcorrect and go in a different direction. Dave Aranda is the polar opposite to Les Miles and Ed Ogeron. So I could see that being a possibility, but I also think that while Aranda's been good, 1 year of legitimate success, parlaying that into the job at LSU, I'd like to have a coach with a little longer track record.
Tom, if Scott Woodward asked, if Scott Woodward asked you to label what you believe are the qualifications for a good fit as the next LSU head football coach, what would you offer?
That's a great question, because I think LSU presents some very unique dynamics, right? You have to be embraced by the entire state. You have to be tied in politically. You have to understand that you're working with an athletic director that has a very clear vision for what he wants within that program, and he's going to be a part of that program. But by all accounts, he's going to be in the football building on a regular basis, and so you need to work hand in hand with an athletic director who believes in his own power of persuasion in some respects, but also his ability to go out and help you fill out a staff. And so you have to have an open mind and be willing to say, yes, this is a guy that I want to work with to build this program in both of our images, especially when it comes time to bring in other staff members. You have to be available publicly. I mean, you have to be a face of the program. You cannot hide in your office every day. I think that's important. But the number one thing is you have to win. And how do you do that at LSU? You recruit, and you have a five-hour radius that is home to some of the top players in all of high school football. You have to continue to do damage in Houston. You've got to, you don't have to get everybody in your state. I mean, that's been proven, right? They don't get everybody, but yet they still had a national championship and arguably the best season we've ever seen in college football just a couple of years ago. And Ed Orgeron had great success going out to the West Coast and getting guys from Southern California and dipping into other states and even further west within Texas than just Houston. And I think one side note to that, that we're all still trying to figure out and getting a better feel for, is how does the transfer portal impact programs like LSU? And who can you go out there and nab? We saw what Kirby Smart did, you know, in filling some holes this season. And I think you have a chance to go out there and use the LSU power and the power of a possible championship to fill whatever holes you may have this coming year.
I think transfer portal, if you're LSU, should be a massive benefit to what you're trying to do and how you're trying to operate. You've had Ole Miss recently. You've had Mississippi State recently. Egg Bowl Thursday night. Which direction are you going in that rivalry game?
Well, speaking of direction, for the folks listening on radio, you see the sun has come from behind the clouds, and directors would be upset with me.
Wow.
Because I got shadows on my face.
Just
so,
amateur hour.
This
actually
is,
helps. I don't know, whatever takes the attention off your face. Maybe I can just do it profile. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a good look.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Face for radio. Ole Miss has to figure out kind of where they are offensively, right? I mean, the first half against A&M, 400 yards of offense, but they couldn't get it in the end zone because they were taking some chances and leaving points on the board. Second half against A&M, they couldn't move the football. They didn't have much success. I thought Saturday night, Vanderbilt did a fantastic job kind of daring Ole Miss just to work underneath, and they weren't giving them anything deep. Matt Corral seems to be healthy. He's going to have to be more efficient. I mean, they got to take some shots within the scope of this offense. It was evident Saturday night that they were hoping to play Matt Corral two quarters, maybe two quarters plus, you know, first series, second half, build a lead against a team they're heavily favored for, and then kind of ride it out and get ready for this short week. They weren't offered that opportunity. So arguably, two offenses that at their peak are two of the most entertaining in the game. But I think it's evident, taking into consideration the level of competition lately, Mississippi State's offense has been way more successful in the last few weeks than Ole Miss's has.
Tom, thank you for joining us. Always good to catch up with Jordan Rogers, bitter rival here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and see you in Baton Rouge.
Can you guys just send me some of Jordan's headshots? Because from now on, I'd like to just send those out as mine.
Better look for you, without a doubt. So thanks for joining. It is Monday of Rivalry Week. Cole Kubik, Craig McElroy filling in for Paul Feinbaum. We want to hear from you when we come back. What are you looking forward to this week as far as rivalry games? 855-242-7285. We take your calls and continue talking Rivalry Week next on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Paul Feinbaum Show, Cole Kubrick and Greg McElroy filling in for Paul today. Good to see that Kirby got the quarter zip memo there in his press conference. Greg McElroy is drunk thinking the head coach at UF not a top five job. Ad Feinbaum needs better talent to cover in his absence.
Whoa.
Emoji. Eh, face.
Uh-oh. Catherine Kaiser reaching out. Could you please give Greg McElroy a time limit on speaking? He rambles on and on.
Yes.
And doesn't give anyone else a chance to talk. It's like he's giving a dissertation. I'm getting a headache.
He is.
I just have to make up for lost time with Tessitore. I don't get to talk on Saturdays.
You don't give me any words there with Tess?
No. Oh, it's fun. It's all in fun. Back to the original comment from the caller or from the tweeter. Tweeter? Tweety?
Person on Twitter.
Twitter. Rufus. Right now, y'all, Florida, top five job in college football? Top five. Let's really talk about this for a half second. Okay? Just quickly. Has it been in the past? 100%. It has 100% been in the past a top five job in college football. But their facilities are archaic, getting better, getting a standalone football facility, just got an indoor facility, so things are coming up there. And then I would also say right now, the expectation level is pretty outrageous. They've now fired two coaches in the last 6 years that have been to SEC championships within a year prior. I'm not saying that they shouldn't expect more. All I'm saying right now, of the big jobs that are out there, Florida's third.
Well, you're also not saying it's 43rd.
No.
You're just saying it's not top five.
It's not top five, which, by the way, the top five jobs in college football to me are as follows. Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, and I think you can make a very strong argument.
Don't do it.
Where do you think I'm going? See if you can get the fifth one.
I know where you're from. Don't say it.
No, it's not Texas.
Okay, good. We're good.
Texas is very similar to Florida. Texas is very similar to Florida, where the expectations are high and the money's high and the stakes are high, but they've had pockets of remarkable success, but they've also had some pretty high peaks and valleys. The number five job in college football to me is still USC. It's Los Angeles, California. You drive 60 minutes in any direction.
You can recruit one mile.
That's fair. 60 minutes in any direction. You go 2.5 miles, depending on if you're on 405 or 101. In all seriousness, you go out 60 miles and you just draw a radius right around Los Angeles, California. There's a national championship roster in your own backyard. You don't have to leave your city to recruit a national championship roster.
I think there's a national championship quarterback. Entire roster, I wonder about. Because I actually wonder how much that circle that you just described cares about college football. That's just my opinion.
Fair.
Just my opinion.
Fair.
Let's go back to the phones. Richard wants to talk about Georgia heading into their rivalry game with Georgia Tech. Richard, welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey, Greg and Cole. Great to see you guys up there. Listen, I want to get to, first, let me just preface my comments and the questions I'm going to ask you, that I'm a longtime Georgia fan. And, of course, it's been 40 years since we've won a natty. So this year, I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to get it done. Now, I want to, and Greg, I want to direct this towards you because you are a championship quarterback at Alabama, were a championship level quarterback. My concern for Georgia is a couple of things. One, the offense, and specifically the quarterback position. And as it relates to quarterbacks at Georgia, that's the one thing I don't trust Kirby with, those type of decisions. Now, I'll be shocked if we can win this national championship this year running this throwback offense. However, that being said, and specifically, Alabama, I feel like, is going to challenge Georgia deep in ways that nobody else has. It's going to put a lot of points up on the board. And, Greg, what I want to ask you is do you feel like Kirby's handled this the correct way? I go back 2 years ago, and I guess it was 19, when Stetson was a quarterback in the SEC championship game, wasn't able to get it done. So what I want to ask you is, and my last thing I want to say is that I'm disappointed that JT Daniels hasn't gotten more playing time to get ready if his time has to come in this game against Alabama. So I'm going to stop there. I'd like to get your comments on how you think Kirby's handling it, if Stetson Bennett can win a national championship, et cetera.
Well, I appreciate the call, Richard. I think Stetson Bennett is so much better than Georgia fans think Stetson Bennett is. Now, I don't know why that is. I don't know. I understand, and I remember vividly what it looked like when you played against Alabama last year. I get that. I understand why that's a difficult thing to overcome mentally, and especially knowing Georgia fans, for whatever reason, they have a preconceived notion that they expect failure. Like, it's like, oh, this is, we're going to mess this up. Like, well, it's too good to be true. We're going to mess this up. Stop thinking that way, okay? That's the first thing I'll say. Stop thinking that way. You're the best team in college football. If you play your A game, nobody's beating you. It's up to you, okay? I really believe that. And now, I'll say all that in saying this. They don't think Stetson Bennett can do it because he doesn't look the part. He's undersized. He does not have a massive arm. But what he does is he complements the run game with his own run game. And Stetson Bennett, I don't know what the numbers are now. I haven't tracked them since we called their game against Missouri a couple weeks ago. Stetson Bennett at the time had more explosive runs with the ball in his hand, carrying the football. More explosive runs than any of the running backs on Georgia's team. Think about that for a second. Think about that for a second. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go out there and carve you up through the air and he's going to look like Tom Brady in the pocket. He's not. But the grittiness, the leadership, the understanding how he fits into the bigger picture, and knowing where some of the teams he might face down the line, Alabama, Ohio State, some of those teams are vulnerable right now against the run. Right now, if I'm Georgia, I want to run the football. And if I have a quarterback that can beat me with his mobility, I think that makes it increasingly difficult on the other team. So I think he gives you the best option right now. I really do, Cole.
That was a great dissertation on Stetson Bennett and what he offers the Georgia offense.
I'm borderline frustrated by it, though. Like, I want them to trust their guy. Like, trust. I understand that the Justin Fields, Jake Fromm situation is irritating. I get that. Justin Fields went on to become an elite player. Jake Fromm still at the time gave them the best chance to be successful with where they were. So I can understand why you don't trust Kirby. I get that, but I think we also need to acknowledge that he's there every day, and he's seeing who the team is following, he's seeing who the team is gravitating towards, and he's seeing the guy making the decisions in practice, because it's open competition every week in Georgia. And Stetson Bennett right now on a week-to-week basis has been the best option.
Total offense, 32nd in the country. It's not 122nd in the country. So I don't view it as that archaic. And when you watch what they do pre-snap, how they can implement a little bit of tempo when they want to. And let's also face it, they haven't had to play a different style of offense.
Yeah, right.
So why, you can go out there and run air raid just for fun? You haven't had this defense with any other quarterback that you've had ever. And there have been great defensive players and great defenses at Georgia. Hell, I had to play against some of them. It wasn't fun going against Richard Seymour and Marcus Stroud and Kendrell Bell and Boss Bailey and Champ Bailey. That wasn't fun.
Did you block Champ Bailey?
Hell no, he was out there playing the corner. You think I could run that far?
Why'd you sign Champ Bailey? I've seen these guys.
On the other side of the field.
Oh, gotcha.
I couldn't get out there to two him.
I looked out wide, and there he was.
Yes. And Kendrell Bell hit me harder than any football player I ever played against in my life. So I know what it's like to play against a great Georgia defense. You've never had one like this. So
a little bit
more about that on the other side. Give us a call, 855-242-7285, as we continue our discussions of Rivalry Week next on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back in, dissertations by Greg. We have another hour and 10 minutes of those. If you want to tune in, see if we get another one for the rest of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Cole Kubik, Greg McElroy. We're filling in on Monday of Rivalry Week. Getting that started with you, and we'll go back to the phones. Augie in New Orleans wants to join us. Welcome in, Augie.
Hey, guys. I got to agree with that lady. McElroy does ramble on a bit. Does he come up for air?
Tell me about
every
it.
Every once in a while. Mm. Got to fill it up.
Man, I tell you what, Mullen is happy right now. Griffith isn't hosting the show today.
are you saying
the party
that,
is at Mike Griffith's house?
I don't know, man. I tell you what, I feel like Mike Griffith started to feel bad about the Mullen situation. What got sideways so quickly? I don't know. Listen to him on this show every week.
Yeah, he did.
It's like he almost started. He's like, all right, I got to take the gloves off now. This isn't right.
Mike's not short on opinions.
Took the gloves
we know
off.
That.
Yeah. Then everybody in the bar jumped on Mullen and started beating him over the head with beer bottles. And then Griffith backed away once he saw that Mullen wasn't going to get up from this fight. And now he's sort of like backed away into the corner. But I think you guys don't understand Paul's demographic on this show. They're not interested in these esoteric aspects of formations and the technical side of football. But McElroy, do you watch Paul's show?
I listen on occasion. Yes, I do.
Have you heard the comments about your announcing etiquette from the Alabama faithful?
I have heard that. They were unhappy.
Well, wait, during Alabama games or during all other schools
games?
No,
during the Alabama,
those are very different.
During the Alabama-Mississippi State game, broadcast was flawless. Got a little sideways in favor of Alabama.
Blowout.
Yeah, blowout. The game against Tennessee, where it was a little bit more in the balance, they didn't like the broadcast quite as much. A little more stressful listen, I think, for Alabama fans that
I
night.
I think there's universal disdain for Gary Danielson. I mean, that's proven already. And they were on Herb Street because they thought Herb Street was making excuses for other teams and pulling against Bama. But I was always curious to get your take on this blue on blue, Bama on Bama, one of their own, you, all this hatred, all this animosity. And I guess, Cole, from a distance, you're probably laughing at this, but I always wanted to get your take on it as to how you felt about it.
Well, actually, as someone who has been threatened to be stripped of his alumni status at Auburn for
they took your Auburn card.
Being critical at certain moments of that football right. team, I know exactly where Greg is. I thought Greg did an amazing thing during that Alabama game against Tennessee, and that was to be the ultimate homer calling that football game.
Yes.
And yet also be a team that hated, a guy that hated Alabama
right.
calling that game,
right.
which I've never seen that be able to be pulled off in an actual broadcast, but you found a way to do it.
Yeah, to have your, and honestly, on like the same plays, like it's almost like side by side. It's just it's from a matter of perspective, I suppose. To have your Bama card revoked and to be the ultimate homer.
It's an accomplishment. It is an accomplishment. All right, Red Dog wants to join us. Welcome into the show, Red Dog.
How's it going?
Great.
What's up, Red?
The guy from Atlanta who said all he said about being a Georgia fan, he does not speak for the majority. Georgia fans, I mean, Stetson Bennett is the guy. One thing people don't understand about Stetson, he's a very smart quarterback. I pointed this stat out to Paul. He's been sacked 5 times. Bryce Young, who y'all kiss his butt every show, he's been sacked 29 times. Anytime that kid gets pressure on him, he makes it into a mess. He showed that Saturday when he turned that second down into third and 40. And, you know, he's playing three sacks a game.
So, well, in fairness, he's also creating plays by extending plays by kind of running around in the pocket. Stetson's a very different player.
Because y'all have no rushing game, Greg. Come on, y'all had 6 yards one game.
But what did they do last week?
I mean,
how many yards did Brian Robinson run for last week?
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
In three opponents, Florida, Tennessee, and Arkansas, how many points has Alabama given up?
Oh, a lot. There's no denying. There's no denying right now. I think you're misinterpreting where the conversation was going. There's been nothing but love for the Georgia Bulldogs, and we've actually pointed
367 attempts to 163 attempts. I would think the 367 I'd probably get sacked a few more times.
Probably a few more times.
If you didn't see what Bryce created, you didn't watch the game.
Stetson's amazing. Bryce is amazing. Everybody's great. It's rivalry week.